Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 32. In verse 7, the Word of God says, now, mind you, let's put the picture here. Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, is against Israel. He's coming up against Judah. He's laying his armies out to besiege them. And he is threatening. And he has already conquered many other nations, not a handful, many peoples, many armies. And he comes against them, and Hezekiah has a response. And he says to the people, you know, he gets ready, he makes the captains of the hundreds and all, and he reinforces the cities and the defenses. But he says this in verse 7, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him there is an arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Sometimes you rest in somebody else's faith. The people here, they were not entirely certain of how things would go. And it is understandable. There is an army that is very powerful and successful in front of them, and they are not sure how things are going to go. But Hezekiah gives them some definition. By the way, never ignore the definition that's given you. Hezekiah gives them some definition. And he says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, but be strong and courageous, because God's on your side. Notice that he didn't say, be courageous because of your own abilities. He said, be courageous because God's on your side. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, the Word of God says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick with the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said unto the Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this man, go, he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, there was something about this that is very similar to what happened with Hezekiah. What Hezekiah said came about because he knew God. And what caused it about was in part Hezekiah's confession toward the faithfulness of God. In other words, God honored what Hezekiah confessed. And Hezekiah confessed that God would be faithful to the people, and in fact, God was faithful to those people. Over here, the soldier said the same thing, the centurion. He confessed the faithfulness of God because he understood the authority that comes in that faithfulness. He understood the authority of faith. This man had a faith like no one else in Israel had. Why? Because he understood what it meant to be a soldier in a kingdom. He understood what it meant to be in an order, and that his authority was based on the fact that he was in a chain of authority. And he believed the authority that he had. In other words, he believed that when he said to a soldier that he had full authority to say that to the soldier, because he believed the authority that he had. Now, with us, it is very much the same thing. We live in authority. We are of the kingdom of God. We operate in the kingdom of God. And we have authority. Now, when I operate in the kingdom, I have to operate in faith. Now, here's the thing. In Matthew 9:28, the Word of God says that when the blind man was brought into the house, Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord," and touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." This is a thought that has been coming for a good time now, maybe a month now. But in this age, this is an important realization. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, this does not mean that if I believe not, God won't be faithful. This does mean that there is a certain authority of true faith. And that authority is what we operate in as believers. We have that authority because we are properly related to the kingdom of God. That's where the authority comes from. A person who is not properly related to the kingdom of God is a person who will not experience the authority of faith. Because it is like the centurion. If the centurion started disobeying his commander, his authority would be removed from him. We, on the other hand, we are submitted to the will of Christ. We are submitted to the mind of Christ. And our authority comes from these things. And so then we say, and it is so. Not because it's us that said it, but because we have authority not to command the kingdom, but to recognize it. And as we start operating in the kingdom, our authority in faith takes on an expression. Why is it that in Matthew 21 and verse 22, the Word of God says, "Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it"? I think this passage, this scripture, makes a lot of believers uncomfortable. Some believers take it and run to it to the extreme, to a place where it was not meant to be. And they come up with this name it, claim it theology. But the Savior did say, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it." I think the reason why it makes some people uncomfortable is because they don't experience this. They've asked, but they haven't received. And so they're hesitant with this passage because they don't want to say the Word of God is not true. But yet at the same time, it hasn't happened for them. Well, the Word of God says that a believer in Mark 11, in verse 23, if a believer says to a mountain, "Be removed," it will be cast into the sea. The mountain will have no options. It is when the believer says, "Be removed," it will be cast into the sea. The passage there says that those who believe that those things which they sayeth shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Why? Because there is an authority in true faith. There is an authority in true faith. There is a word confession that causes me to overcome the enemy. Why? Because there is an authority in true faith. In other words, I confess, and it will be as I have confessed when I operate in that authority of true faith. This is how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God in Romans 10:17. My confessing something in and of itself has no authority. In other words, I can say to the mountain, be removed all I like, and it's not going to budge. If I am operating outside of the authority of true faith. Those are situations where I'm operating in the old man, in the old sin nature, in my flesh. It is possible for a believer to pray but not believe. In other words, keep in mind that God looks at the heart. God doesn't hear the words as much as God hears the heart. So when I pray, God, do this for me, but in my heart I'm saying, God, you will not do this for me. That is a prayer that is actually answered according to the heart. God, you won't do this for me. Now, other people can have authority in faith on our behalf. In other words, I can believe God for something for somebody else, just like the people who brought that paralyzed man to the Savior and put him in the house, and he healed him because of their faith. Not because of that man's faith, but because of their faith. What happens when a person comes to God? God opens their eyes. In other words, God opens their perception. How does He open their perception? He opens their perception through the Word of God. Folks, He doesn't open their perception to the gang they hang out with. He opens their perception according to the Word of God. My perception can be influenced by the gang I hang out with, but it may not be opened. Learn to have your perception opened by the Word of God. If your portion is in the Word, then you will have an opened eye. If your portion is elsewhere, and usually that would mean people, you will not have an opened eye. Learn to have your portion be in the Word of God. In other words, don't live before people. Live before God. Live in the Word. Don't trust what people can give you. Trust God's Word. Many people chase after a crowd and end up nowhere. But those who pursued the Word with diligence ended up as far as God could take them, which is endless. Make sure that that's where your portion is. The emotions may be satisfied with somebody's acceptance, but it's temporary. And you'll always need new. You'll always need the novelty of another person's acceptance, another person's acknowledgement, another person. And you'll never stay put because your portion's in the wrong place. Stay true to the Word of God. That's it. If my portion is the Word of God, I will develop an authority of faith. So stay true to the Word of God. You want to be a real Christian? Stay true to the Word of God. Because anything else is just a game. Stay true to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's where your authority and faith begins. What is faith? I like the way that Kenneth Weiss puts it. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for and the proof of things which are not yet seen. It's a title deed for the things that you desired. Your ownership of that which you do not yet possess is in faith. The proof that you're looking for is in faith. You want proof that God's way works? You'll only find it in faith. You want proof that God will come through for you? You'll only find it in faith. You're praying for something that you don't have yet? You'll take ownership of it by faith. It becomes yours by faith. When Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask for, believing, it'll be given you," this is what he's talking about. It's a life of faith. There's an authority in true faith. And true faith is always established by the Word of God in the heart. It is never established in the flesh. True faith is not a wishful thought. It's a conviction of reality. So when I can't see something, that doesn't mean anything. The reason why it means nothing is because if it is sight, it's not a faith. God's will in a person's life will always take place by faith. God's will in a person's life will never take place by sight. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says over and over, the just live by faith. So if I want God's will in my life, it's going to be a requirement for me that I operate in faith. The things that are of sight usually take people out of God's will, if that is what they respond to. But when I operate in a response to faith, in faith, to God's promises, to God's character, to God's word, then my life takes on an authority that is only found in being properly related to the kingdom of God. Just like the centurion. Then I don't need to see to believe. I don't need to have it in front of me laid out perfectly and in order to believe. I take the promises of God and I trust them. Because between now and the fulfillment of whatever promise God has for you is events. Those events are important. You don't see the middle. For example, God gives somebody a promise in the Word of God about His faithfulness or coming through for them or battles. I fight your battles. I think that's a good one because lately we've had a number of people fighting different battles. God says, "I fight your battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is mine," says the Lord. So I grab a hold of this promise. But the circumstance is still in front of me. Between the fought and won battle and now is events. God doing different things that lead me from here to there. I can't see those things. So a person who says, "This is an impossible situation for me," what they're saying is, "I can't see what's in the middle. I can only see where I am, and I've heard about where God said I'm going. And the rest is an impossible situation for me." Folks, nothing is impossible. God raises the dead. God creates a universe. God makes things alive. Nothing is impossible. And by the way, those are the easy things. Nothing is impossible. Faith doesn't see, faith knows. Simple as that. Faith doesn't see, faith knows. Because faith is built on the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 2, in verse 14, the Word of God says, "The natural man receives not the things of God or the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." The natural man will not receive or know the things of God. They are foolishness to the natural man. The things of God are spiritually discerned. I can't figure out the things of God, but the Spirit recognizes them. The Holy Spirit guides people in all truth. The steps of the just man are ordered by the Lord. If I acknowledge Him in my ways, He directs my path. He brings things my way because He is God. I can discern them, but not by sight. I can discern them, but not by natural reasoning. How do I discern them? I am discerning them in the spiritual man. And that part of me that fellowships with the Holy Spirit, there they are discerned. When I start hearing the still small voice of God, then I can discern them. When I start recognizing spirits because I'm in tune to the Holy Spirit, then I can discern them. By the way, discernment is not sight. Judgment is sight. Discernment has nothing to do with sight. Discernment has to do with hearing from the Spirit of God. That's what discernment is. My spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit, and I have discernment. Not because I see something, but because I perceive the Holy Spirit's thoughts. There is discernment. The things of God are not received by the natural man. They are foolishness to him. The natural man will say of the things of God, "This makes no sense." Yes, it does not make sense to the natural man. This is true. This makes no sense. But then again, our lives with God are not based on the natural man. Faith is not based on the natural man. Believing God is not based on what the natural man can do. Believing God is the Holy Spirit's impartation to my heart as He shows me His Word, as He leads me in all truth, as He teaches me in all circumstances. There you have faith. Faith isn't sight. It's possible for a believer to try to establish faith in sight. To try to discern through sight. This looks like this and that's happening there. But that's not faith. Nor is it discernment. Nor is it anything of God. That's sight. Sight leads to judgment. But the Savior said, "Judge righteous judgment." In other words, judge according to faith. Judge according to what the Holy Spirit reveals. Judge by the Word of God. Not as the law, but as the Rhema. As that illumination that the Holy Spirit brings through the Word for the life of a man. Judge righteous judgment. These things will not come to the natural man. And then it continues, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." In other words, the spiritual man will perceive all things. Why? Because he'll discern them. Because the spiritual man has learned how to hear that still small voice. The spiritual man has learned how to commune with God. The spiritual man has learned how to rest in faith and to wait on God. But he himself is not understood of anybody. In other words, nobody can figure this guy out. Because this guy's life is not normal. This guy's life is kind of strange. He does things that are out of the ordinary. He makes decisions that the world doesn't really agree with, that doesn't support. He makes decisions like, morality and worldly wisdom say, go over here, right? Morality and worldly wisdom say, go over here. But God has another plan. And the spiritual man says, I'm following this other plan. I'm following after the Holy Spirit. I'm following where the wind is blowing, but I can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. I just know that the wind is blowing. And this is how the Spirit of God is. That the wind blows, but I don't know where it's taking me. And the world cannot recognize it, and they don't understand anything about the spiritual man. Because they do not know Him, they don't know God, they don't know the Spirit. But the spiritual man discerns all things. Don't try to understand with the natural mind what is revealed only by the Spirit. You can't do it. You can try, but you'll be wrong. And you can say, I won't be wrong. But yes, you will. And just wait, it will be revealed to you. You can't predict God. You can't figure Him out. You can only respond to Him in faith. Because you possess the mind of Christ through His Word. But don't try to figure Him out. Just believe Him. For who have known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Don't we do this sometimes? God, this is not how it's going to work. God, I don't really care for this. God, I don't get it. Can't be right. You know what? Who has known the mind of God that He may instruct him? Who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? If I didn't study science, I would have never become a pastor. Go figure. I don't know why. This is just God's way. But you can't figure out the ways of God. God says, you want to go to the right, you're going to have to start out on the left. What? Isn't the shortest distance between any two points a straight line, God? Perhaps, but it doesn't build character. It doesn't build capacity. It doesn't conform you to the image of Christ. I want my straight line. Then go somewhere else to find it. Because there is no straight line. God doesn't work with straight lines. There are no straight lines in heaven. Not in the kingdom. God doesn't use straight lines. You know what God uses? God uses the wind that blows where it will. Go figure how you get there. You'll never figure out. God will get you there. But here's the thing. You trust Him and you rely on Him. Why? Because then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Faith comes by the intake of the mind of Christ. When I learn to think the way God thinks, I have faith. When I learn to believe what God can see, I have faith. But my sight takes me out of faith. And out of the will of God. In Galatians 2:20 in the B part, the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God. You see, this is the authority portion. That the life that I live is not my human faith, it's the faith of the Son of God. This is where a person starts to experience what it means to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is what it means when I am a functioning member of the body of Christ. That the life of God is flowing through me. And the way that the life of God flows through me is by having it alive in me. How is it going to be alive in me? Because that energization that faith brings to that life allows it to flow. In other words, the Holy Spirit is already present faith opens the door for him to flow out. If I can't have faith toward God, if my faith is to the extent of the visible, then nothing will be possible. But it's not that way. The place that we have with God is not like that. Because in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. That means that I have all that God is and does and gives. That is the life that we live. Folks, don't you get this? You have the life of God. And that's where your faith takes authority. It's to the extent that you have the life of God. I cannot live in a self-preservation and have the life of God at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. I will either have self-preservation and no life of God, or I will have life of God and no self-preservation. But they will not coexist. Jeremiah 10:23 says that the way of a man is not in himself. The way of the man is in the Spirit of God, in John 16:13. But the way of a man is not in himself. Because if the way of a man is in himself, his faith is non-existent. In Ephesians 2:6, the Word of God says that He's raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places. How am I going to experience that? How am I going to experience that I'm raised together and seated in heavenly places? I have to have the mind of Christ. Because apart from that, I will never have the experience of the life of God. Because apart from that, in my natural man, all I am doing is sitting in a room, or walking down a street, or working at my job, or sitting in my class, or whatever it is that you do. But your life is so much more than that. Your life is far beyond any of that. It's in heavenly places. Do you get that? It's in heavenly places. Here's the thing. In Ephesians 1:3, God the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. This word here, spiritual, is talking about two characteristics. Invisible and powerful. Those are the two characteristics that define spiritual. Invisible and powerful, as relates to my experience. It's the spiritual man that is powerful. It's the spiritual man who asks what he will and it's done for him. A man will not become a spiritual man apart from the life of God taking over his frame of reference, apart from the Word of God being the foundation of his thoughts. That's a spiritual man. That's the man who simply says to the mountain, "Be removed," and it is removed. We say, "That's not going to really work for me. According to your faith, be it unto you." Did the Savior say it just to tease? Let me ask you this. Did the Word of God say what it says just to tease? Somebody out there is saying, "Well, maybe." You don't know God. The Savior didn't say anything just to tease. The Savior said it because it is that way. He gave us all spiritual benefits that are invisible and powerful. And He is bringing out here that we are citizens of a kingdom, the residents of a heavenly home, of a kingdom that has real power and real authority and real efficacy here on earth. It's not a theological truth. It's a practical reality to the spiritual man. The things of the kingdom affect the things of the earth. Don't let the things of the earth affect the way that you live in the kingdom. Because the things of the kingdom are the greater reality. Don't chase after things that God didn't give you. Because the things of the kingdom are the reality. The other things are illusions, vapors, and they're nothing more. In Matthew 16:19, He said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will loose in heaven." Why? Because when I live in the spiritual man, whatever I say takes place. Why? Because I say it as I've heard it. The communion that I have is moment by moment with the Holy Spirit, and I simply repeat what I've heard from the Father. This is why Jesus could say to a dead person, "Get up." By the way, this is why people can say at times to dead people, "Get up." And they do. Because they're in a communion with the Spirit. And the Father honors the authority that they have in the kingdom of God. Do you see why it's so important not to get wrapped up in the petty and the small and the superficialities of the flesh? Because they take away your place in the kingdom. Not positionally, but there's no power in those things. There's no authority in them. There's no realization on a day-to-day basis what the kingdom is in your life. They rob you. That's why Satan sends them. If you ask me anything, in John 16:23, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you." Do you believe that? Well, it works for the spiritual man. There is an authority that comes in faith through the Spirit. That authority is what allows you to experience all the benefits of a kingdom that lives within you. And it only comes through a life in the Spirit. I wonder how many people actually get this. Amen?